Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 12, Chapter 7, Text 1. Translation and commentary by servants of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Srimad Prabhupada. Suta Uvacha Atharvavit Sumantascha Shishyam Adhyapayat Svakam Sanghitang Sopipatyaya Vedadarshaya Choktavan. Siddha Goswami said, Sumantu Rishi, the authority on the Atharva Veda, taught his Sanghita to his disciple Kabandha, who in turn spoke it to Patya and Veda Darsha. Purport, as confirmed in the Vishnu Purana, Atharva Vedam Samuni Samantur Amita Dyutihi Shishyam Adhyap Payam Asha Kabandham Sopi Chadvidha Kritva Tu Veda Darshaya Tata Patyaya Dattavan. That sage Sumantu, whose brilliance was immeasurable, taught the Atharva Veda to his disciple Kabandha. Kabandha, in turn, divided it into two parts and passed them down to Veda Darsha and Patya. Here is mentioned the name of Kabandha. The name Kabandha is more famous in connection with another personality rather than the disciple of Sumantu Rishi. Who knows who that Kabandha is, another Kabandha? Let's see if any of the Western devotees know, first of all. Indian devotees might be more likely to know. Anyone? No? Indian devotees also don't know. Anyone? Kabandha. Anyone been reading Ramayana recently? Parabotchik. Where's... No Russian lady knows English, is it? And Gauranga is a strict brahmachari. He never goes anywhere near the ladies, even in his mind. So, Kabandha was the demon. Actually, he was a heavenly being who was. Kabandha name. Koi sab shuddh Krishna bhakti. Everyone's a pure devotee of Krishna. They don't. But we find even in Krishna Leela, they also know Ram Leela. You'll find the gopis there saying to Krishna, we know all about you. In your previous life, you cut off the nose of Shupanaka. So they know. It's not that they don't know. They also... You can also read Ramayana. He was a heavenly person who by curse became a demon, but by the mercy of Lord Ram, got killed by him, and again regained his heavenly position. So, like this, it's not unusual that we find demons having the same names as devotees or even the name of God. Just like Hayagriva is well known as the name of... Anyone? The Supreme Personality of Godhead. What does Hayagriva mean? Hi, we usually say, something bad. Isn't it? Haya means? Anyone?
Horse.
And Griva means?
Neck.
So it means who's got the neck, or actually the head also of a horse. So it's the name of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in one of his avatars. It's also the name of a demon. We'll find in the Srimad Bhagavatam and in the list of demons fighting against the demigods, sometimes the name Hayagriva comes. Because, he must have had a horse's head also. We also find that Krishna's name, Madhusudan. Speak Madhusudan because he killed a demon by the name Madhu, but another name for Krishna himself is Madhu. Madhu means sweet. So we have to know who we're talking about. There also, we find in the modern age, there was a demon of the name Radha Krishna. He was the first president of India. His name was Radha Krishna, but he was a demon because he malinterpreted the Bhagavad Gita, and Prabhupada wrote a whole essay against him. And he says it is not to the person Krishna that we have to surrender, but to the unborn eternal within Krishna. So Prabhupada wrote a very strong essay against him in Bengali at the request of certain brahmacharis who were distressed by this. So there may be persons with good names, but the name doesn't match the person. So sometimes it's qualified. When we say Krishna, sometimes that is qualified. Krishnaya Vasudevaya Devaki Nandanaya Chananda Gopukumar Govindaya Namo Namaha. We offer our respectful obeisances to Krishna. Which Krishna? There are so many Krishnas. Krishna is also a name of Dvaipayana Vyas, the present Vyas. He's also called Krishna. Arjuna is also called Krishna. It's also a name for Krishna because his bodily complexion is blackish, but Arjuna himself explained that the main reason for his being called Krishna is because he's very dear to Krishna. That's why one of the names of Krishna is Krishna Sakha, friend of Krishna. In this context, it means the friend of Arjuna. So we say Krishnaya Vasudeva. Which Krishna are we talking about here? When we're offering obeisances to Krishna, which we means this is a prayer by Kunti Devi. So her own son is also called Krishna. Arjuna. So Krishnaya Vasudeva, to the son of Vasudeva. Krishnaya Vasudeva. Devaki Nandanaya. And the son of Devaki. Devaki Nandan literally means the pleasure, one who gives pleasure. Who is the pleasure of Devaki? Nanda, Ananda. Devaki Nandanaya. Nanda Gopa Kumaraya. And is also known as the son of Nanda. Which Nanda? Nanda Gop. There are also so many Nandas. Another Nanda, famous Nanda, is Nanda Maharaj. There's another important Nanda. Who's that? Can anyone think of? Nanda Sunanda. Doorkeepers, yeah, the two doorkeepers. Jayan Vijaya, the last doorkeepers, but there are also doorkeepers on the path of Vaikuntha, associates of the Supreme Lord in Vaikuntha. They generally accompany him when he comes to this, when he comes on an occasional visit to this material world, then they come with him. So Nanda Gop, which Nanda? Nanda Gop, he's this Nanda Gopa Kumaraya Govindaya Namona. So if you say so many, there may be other Govindas also. There used to be a famous film star in India called Govinda. He must be finished now. He's still going on. But which Govinda? If you put all these names together, the only one it will fit is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. Anyway, the subject of this verse is not names, but we find here a list of names being given in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam, taking the characteristics of an ordinary Purana, although it's not an ordinary Purana, it's an extraordinary Purana, Srimad Bhagavatam, Puranam Amalam Yad Vaishnavanam Priyam, it is the Purana that is differentiated from all other Puranas in as much as it is Amala. There is no discussion herein of or no recommendation of dharma, artha, kama, moksha. Only in Srimad Bhagavatam, the only topic recommended is prem prayojanam, param purushartha, the actual necessity of the jiva to develop love of Krishna, which is his actual need, the actual purpose of life of every living being. So this Srimad Bhagavatam, it's known as Bhagavat Purana. All the Puranas are sacred, they are to be respected. All the Puranas are meant for leading to Krishna. Shukadeva Goswami himself states in this chapter the characteristics of the Puranas and the sanctity of the Puranas. So the Bhagavad Purana, although in a different category to the other Puranas, being wholly, directly, transcendental in all respects, non-different from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna Tulya Bhagavat, what is that? Vibhu Sarvashray, Prati Shloke Prati Akare Nana Artha Koy. The Srimad Bhagavatam is non-different from Krishna. As Krishna is all-powerful and can give shelter to all, so Srimad Bhagavatam, in every verse and every syllable, there are innumerable meanings are expounded. So Srimad Bhagavatam takes on the characteristics of a Purana, which are also described in this chapter by Shukadeva Goswami. What are the characteristics of a Purana? So one of them is Vangshanuvarnana, description of the dynasties of, particularly of, well, dynasty means family line of kings. So it's a description of the two Kshatriya dynasties which were extant in the world, now not anymore, but, or even the name someone may be. We'll find the Kshatriyas, they come in two lines, Suryavanshi and Chandravanshi, descended from the sun and descended from the moon. So even now you'll find this, just like you'll find this still now famous, the Maharaj of Gwalior and the Maharaj of Kuch Bihar and Maharaj of Tripura and Maharaj of Baroda, Jamnaga. These are all, even now they're famous Raja families. So they're either Suryavanshi or Somavanshi, from the sun or the moon. But they're not real Rajas anymore. Only in them. Prabhupada said that time when Prabhupada was traveling and preaching all over the world, the Prime Minister of India during that whole period was Indira Gandhi. She only died after Prabhupada left, she was killed. So Prabhupada, I'd heard it said, that Prabhupada has said that the fact that there's a woman ruling India proves that there's no Kshatriya in India, because they couldn't tolerate to be ruled by a woman. There's some story like that way back there between the Greeks and the Persians, something like that. They were having some naval battle. This is way back in, well, not so long ago, after Srimad Bhagavatam was compiled. But anyway, the Greeks came to know that the Persian fleet, it was a naval battle, was being commanded by a woman. And they became so angry that why they're attacking us with a woman, they considered a great insult. And they became extremely angry and fought with 10 times more energy and completely smashed them. The thought that they could be defeated by a, or even they considered it an insult. So anyway, the Srimad Bhagavatam is, as with other Puranas, one of its characteristics is description of the dynasties of kings. But here in this present section is being described the dynasty, not exactly dynasty, but the parampara, list of names of saintly persons who come in the various paramparas of the different Vedic literatures. There's so many Vedic literatures. Originally there's one Ved, and it's divided into four: Rig, Sama, Yajur, Atharva. And then there are other Vedic literatures also. So generally, we have the name, there's name of, in India we have the names Dvivedi, Trivedi, Chaturvedi, those who have, means any Brahmin is supposed to be Vedi, means he's learned at least one Veda. But Dvivedi means he's learned two, Trivedi means learned three, Chaturvedi means he's learned four. Learned means they can recite from memory a whole Veda with all the different swaras, the different intonations of voice. It's a whole science. So there are different Vedic, that means they've learned it and they can recite it. Doesn't mean they understand it, but it means they've learned it at least. There are different Vedic literatures, and then there are Upavedas also, like Dhanurveda. It's Dronacharya, he was famous for the teacher of Dhanurveda. Parashuram, these are Brahmanas by caste who taught and practiced Dhanurveda, science of fighting. Then Ayurveda, another Upaveda. Gandharva Veda, science of music. So there are so many different Vedic arts, and generally each literature that, because even to understand one Veda, to learn it and recite it, that's one thing, but to understand the intricacies of its teachings and the practices recommended therein, that requires a great scholarship. So generally we'll find that each Veda has its own parampara. And even today we'll find there are among the relatively few Brahmanas who are still practicing, we'll find some are Rigvedis, some are Yajurvedis. They follow some particular Veda. And then there are different shakas within the Vedas, most of which are lost nowadays. There are different branches of teaching, the different Vedas. There's most of the different branches are now lost. But here it's being described how the parampara is coming down. One expert in this, here is Sumantu Rishi, who is the authority on the Atharva Veda. And he taught his Sanghita, which each Veda, they attached to each Veda will be Sanghita, which is a summary of taking the essence. So he taught that to Kabanda, then he spoke it to others, and in this way, Vedic knowledge is passed on. Evang parampara prapta. Vedic knowledge is passed on from guru to disciple. And another feature of parampara is that everyone who is in it is, they have to know who are all the different authorities, what are the names of all. The first duty in the morning of every follower of any Vedic discipline is to recite the names of all the acharyas up to the present time. So we should be reciting that. Just like Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur made this song in Bengali: Krishna hoite chaturmukha hoy, Krishna sevanmukha Brahma, Brahma hoite naradharamati. So like this, we're supposed to remember, beginning from Krishna, and then who he first gave it to. In our line it's Brahma. There are four authorized lines or paramparas of Vedic knowledge coming from the Supreme Lord. One through Brahma, one through Lakshmi, one through Lord Shiva, and one through the Kumaras. So like this, recite each day. And we should know, as Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says in this song, Parampara jano bhalomate. We should know well, we should know properly what is the parampara. Who are these different acharyas? What are their contributions? What are their teachings? Contribution means their teachings. What have they taught? They all teach the same thing, but they expound on various issues, philosophical issues that arise, and especially within the Gaudiya line, which comes through Brahma and Madhva. Especially in the Gaudiya line, there is another contribution, starting with Madhavendra Puri, which is hardly found even in the other Vaishnava paramparas. That is the contribution of Rasa Niryas. Beginning with Madhavendra Puri has been contributed. The contribution is the understanding and tasting of rasa. This in the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, the contribution is Unatajvala Rasa, the topmost, resplendent rasa, that is the particularly the Madhurya Rasa, Vraja Madhurya Rasa, with emphasis on Vipralamba Bhav. So these are all technical terms. Those who understand, understand. Those who don't, don't. That's a big topic. But those who are in the lines, is like they're supposed to know what are the specific contributions of all the acharyas. What have they done? How have they enlightened us? The knowledge is eternal, but the different acharyas, they become the vehicles for presenting that. They're taught the Vedic knowledge by their acharyas. And by the grace of their acharya, they may also be inspired to make what appears to be some novel contribution of understanding, which no one has given provenient to that. But that is always there, whatever they say. It may not have been expressed before within known human history, but that is always existed. But there are different realizations which the acharyas express. So here in these sections of the Bhagavatam, there are descriptions of different names, and we may think, well, what is it? It's just a description of names. But we should know every verse of the Bhagavatam is sacred, and the persons whose names are mentioned here, we may not know very much or hardly anything about them, but nevertheless, just by reciting their names, by reciting the Bhagavatam, we become purified. These are not the names of ordinary persons. And ordinary persons they're not recorded in Srimad Bhagavatam. There's so many millions of persons have come and gone, but not everyone is being noted. Those great personalities, worshipable personalities, who have received Vedic knowledge in a proper parampara and distributed that to others, their names are being mentioned here. And it is the duty of devotees to hear these names, recite these names, recite the shlokas of Bhagavatam with great respect, understanding the greatness of these personalities, and moreover understanding the greatness of our parampara acharyas, that Sumantu, Kabandha, Patya, Vedadarsha, these are all great personalities in the line of the Atharva Veda. But then if we see our acharyas, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Srila Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj, then they are even far, far greater than these personalities mentioned herein, because they are direct associates of Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who came to give the hidden essence of all Vedic knowledge. So, this is not an insult to these great personalities who are mentioned, but it is, nor is it a material comparison. They are all great personalities, but nevertheless, by comparative understanding, it is clear that our parampara, our Gauriya parampara acharyas, they are the topmost personalities, even of the spiritual world, who have come to distribute the wealth of the spiritual world, to bring out the essence of Srimad Bhagavatam. Even great acharyas before they came, they commented on Srimad Bhagavatam, but they could not understand or present to the extent that the Gauriya acharyas have done so, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he revealed what is the essence of Bhagavatam. That was Aham Vedmi Shuko Veti Vyasa Veti Na Veti Va Bhaktya Bhagavatam Grahya Name Janata Tikaya. Lord Shiva says that this Srimad Bhagavatam, I know it. Shukdev Goswami, he knows it. Maybe Vyasadev knows. Maybe not. Whatever, this Bhagavatam is not understandable simply by scholarship or intelligence or study, but is understood by development of the strong desire to serve Krishna. Hare Krishna. Any question? Premankur, he is described in Chaitanya Charitamrita. He was the Ankur means just the sprout, when a plant is not seed and is not a plant. It's just beginning to sprout. Sprout, that's the word. So he was the beginning of the tree, the figurative tree of pure devotional service.
Question is,
Nimbak Sampradaya, they worship Radha Krishna, but not the Radha Govinda of the Gauriyas. Yeah, well, one thing is, according to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, what's going on in the Nimbaka Sampradaya nowadays is just an imitation. It's an imitation of what the Gauriyas are doing. They copied it all and described it to themselves. But he also said that the Radha Govindas of the Nimbaka Sampradaya is not the Radha Govinda that the Gauriyas worship. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as I was mentioned in the class, I think twice, his specific contribution is this. The Unatajvala Rasa, the topmost resplendent mellow of transcendental love that is based on this Vipralamba Bhava. So the Radha Govinda that's worshipped by the Nimbarkas, he also said about that, that's more like, that's Swakya, they follow Swakya. So he said that's more akin to the Dwarka Bhav. It's very staid, it's not recklessly sacrificing everything for Krishna. Nimbarkas, they don't have that. And they don't have anything much, to tell you the truth. nowadays, especially. There's nothing much going on there. Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Hare Krishna.